This is Jeff Chrisman, and I'm here with Jeanette Draper with Natural Awakenings Magazine, and we're continuing our conversation with Jeff Reagan with Kai's Concepts. Thanks again for being with us, Jeff. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. I thought what we would do, if we could, is hear a little bit about your life story before Kai's and just kind of getting an idea of what, you know, motivated you to start the company and what your vision was. And
yeah, you bet. Man, life before Kai's. That sounds kind of crazy thinking about that out loud. I guess I'll kind of start where I normally start with the story. I mean, quick background, I guess. Born and raised from Oklahoma City, so had a great upbringing, great family, great friends. Been very blessed and fortunate. Got to go to OU for undergrad, and I guess I really like to start there. I was a entrepreneurship major in college, and we did a lot of case studies, and we had a lot of speakers and teachers that were business people, and they came in and not really, I was never the kid that really knew what he wanted to do in life once I figured out I wasn't going to be a professional basketball player. So it was just kind of, you know, doing the next path, you know, going to school and getting a job or whatever. But for me, I really left college taking two lessons from what I called the successful people or the successful entrepreneurs. And that's a big question I like to get to later, of defining what success is. And that could be probably a whole nother podcast someday. But for me, the two things were do what you're passionate about. And the second thing from the business side is what I called successful suicide. And so that was in 2007, 2008. The economy was bombing. Everything I was interviewing for was you know, I'd have like a great interview one day, and the next day the national news would be like, oh, this company laid off 10,000 people. I'd be like, yeah, it's probably not going to work out there. But ended up moving home, and it was really the not what I had planned. You know, I did pretty good in school, and I felt like I, especially getting into my senior year, you know, starting to realize that college wasn't going to last forever, unfortunately, that I was, you know, have to figure out what was next. And so, you know, I really wanted to, you know, have a good job and do whatever, but ended up moving back home, which was actually so great because, you know, another year living at home really set me forward, the ability to save money, you know, live with my mom, you know, see kind of people back in the area, and, you know, do all of that, you know, see my family and whatnot. But anyways, that chapter of my life is what I like to call the self-discovery time for me. And so by being back at home, a lot of my friends from college had moved or doing whatever, and I was at home, and I ended up getting a part-time contracting job, but I really was in that self-discovery, so I became a huge reader. I would go to Barnes & Noble a lot and just pull off books off the shelf and read them. I know it sounds kind of ghetto, but I would buy some. And I'm like a note guy, and I just, you know, I'd kind of take my yellow notepad and just kind of write stuff. And so really the big question I tried to answer was, you know, what am I passionate about? What's my purpose? Why am I created? You know, what am I going to do with my life? You know, all that stuff. But the passion question, I arrived at three things. Once I looked back at all these notebooks I had scribbled, I'm like, I write the same three things, basically. I love helping people. I don't think anything's better than that. I loved health and fitness, and that's why people always wanted my help. Hey, Jeff, can you write me a diet? Can you write me a workout? Can you pump me up, you know, before this test or, you know, whatever. I'm calling you because I'm down about something, you know. And then I liked entrepreneurship. I realized that it was really my creative outlet and capacity. I can't draw, I can't sing, I can't dance. Sometimes I think I can dance, but I can't dance. You know, I can't play an instrument. But that's really the creative outlet, and really blending all those threes, creating things to help people live healthier and live better. And so I ended up working full-time at that point at Chesapeake Energy, and I had started in this group basically in the basement of a building, you know, cutting open boxes and doing computers and do all that. And had a cool boss at the time that he, and I was still on contract, and he allowed me to leave work at 3 o'clock 2 days a week, and I would go down to Norman, and I was doing some boot camps for a couple sororities, and I'd do like health plans off of that. And so that was kind of my first entrepreneurial attempt. And anyways, we ended up letting a guy go in the department, and then work picked up. And so I ended up being on full time. I couldn't leave anymore, so I had to stop doing that. But I was still helping people on the side. You know, most people at Chesapeake are family and friends. And for me, it was never like, here's your diet, here's your workout. It's like, tell me about yourself. Tell me your story. Like, what's the dream? What's the goal? Why? And, you know, what's in the way? And I just kept hearing, basically, healthy eating sucks and I don't have time. And I was like, well, that's not true, because I enjoy eating healthy. And I joke because it rhymes about Chef Jeff, but I am no chef. You know, if being a chef is putting a bowl of cereal or, you know, something super simple. But, you know, everything I had did at the time was 5 minutes or less. I thought it tasted great. It was healthy. I felt great. So I ended up trying to make an attempt off. One of my things that always get people is I used to eat it all the time. I call it no-bake oatmeal. And it was basically peanut butter, oatmeal, hot water, and protein. And I was like, well, so I do that. And I was like, well, maybe I can make this into a cookie, because that sounds more fun and enjoyable to people. And I tried to do that, and that was kind of a big failure and didn't really work. And then anyways, I ended up getting it in a bar, but it wasn't really a bar. I used to make them in just pans. They're just kind of these like bread pans, if you will, thick. And most people thought it was peanut butter fudge.
Right.
But it was just four ingredients, really simple. I just added the honey, the raw local honey, as a binder. But you get the vitamins, enzymes, minerals from the honey. And so anyways, I ended up doing that, getting to people. People really liked it. I wouldn't tell them it was healthy. And so, like I said, I had the entrepreneurial fun. And so I just kind of just got it. You know, it was really a godsend, the timing of everything, because I was living with a couple of buddies at the time, and then they both ended up moving. And so then, you know, I didn't have a lot of my friends from Oklahoma City had moved. And so I just kind of found it was like really opening up this period of my life to just focus on something. So it was like, I didn't live with anybody anymore. And at nights, I basically would just work on the recipes, and it was fun. And anyways, I ended up doing that for about a year and a half, 2 years. Nights, weekends, lunchtime. And sometime along that point, I had made the decision, all right, I'm going to try to start a business. And I ended up, I remember, because I was an OU guy, and I took a vacation day to go to Stillwater, of all places, which I love all the people at OSU, but you don't go to the Bedlam jokes and people. But yeah, it's kind of funny, like taking a vacation day to go to Stillwater to take a class. Yeah. I took a starting a food business class up at the Food and Ag Product Center at OSU, which is, I love those people. They've been so, so helpful for us. But anyways, did that, kind of got a little more clarity of things I needed to figure out, what I needed to do. And so the first product was actually just in a plastic bag, and it was a big, I kind of called it like a Kit Kat. They're just like perforated bites, so you could have one or all 12, a little piece just for something to nibble on, a snack, or the whole thing is a meal replacement. So that's what we started with. Was doing that. I kind of had this vision, because I like Chesapeake a lot. I met so many wonderful people up there. I got my, you know, the feel of what a great culture is, what a big company's like. And, you know, I kind of thought, hey, I'm going to be doing this, and I'm going to grow this business on the side, and I'm going to have the best of both worlds. Basically, I'm going to have the security over here, and I'm going to have the fun over here, and it's going to be hedged. And I realized very quickly that it wasn't going to be able to, you know, the Kai's venture wasn't going to be able to last at all if I didn't go all in. And so, you know, they call it a leap of faith for a reason, and
absolutely,
you take it. And I say this all the time, but it's not a one-time thing. You take it every day. You know, you take it every day. It's a leap of faith every day just to keep stepping. And I kind of always had the philosophy. I like mountain climbing, so I think about, you know, hiking, and, you know, it's one step at a time. And if you don't quit, you'll get there. You can't always see the top. It's not clear. It may rain on you. Your lungs may be burning. It may be whatever. But you just keep going. And that's where it's important to have that passion, to have that purpose, that big why that drives you, because it's by no means clear. It's by no means easy and comfortable and all this and that. But it just was a really fortunate thing. So that was really the kind of the genesis story of how everything got started and launched into the full-time side. So.
Well, that's a very inspiring story. It is. I guess I would, at this point, get an idea of if there's anything that you wanted to listeners to know about in terms of anything you guys are going to be doing as far as any new developments or events. Or
yeah, I mean, we're going to be working on some new flavors. We're going to try to attempt at some seasonal flavors for the first time, potentially like a pumpkin spice, and then maybe around Christmas, like a I don't know, gingerbread or mint chocolate. If anyone has ideas, please send them our way. Like I said, we want to make what people want and do them, but we're going to be rolling out a peanut butter chocolate chip flavor as well. Kind of make it look like a Reese's package, tastes like that, but healthy, five ingredients, six ingredients, you know, super simple. Probably get a little more aggressive in promoting the meals and catering stuff. And then locally as well, hopefully we're going to have a little retail operation coming that you can have juices, smoothies, you can grab the Kai's meals, bars, and have that. And then our next big thing, non-locally, is we're doing our Whole Foods regional rollout. So that was kind of the big prayer answered for the year of that. All the awesome people in Oklahoma City and Tulsa and all their support, that made the numbers go up. We got in Dallas as kind of a special test. It's gone good there, but I mean, our numbers in the three Oklahoma stores are outstanding. I mean, it's because I always tell people, if it wasn't because it doesn't matter how much we want it, if people don't care and are awesome and support us, it does not matter. We can't make them and go buy them all ourselves. Right? That obviously doesn't work. So, and that's what really drives us, I think. You know, I know early on too, you said, oh, you're going to do a health camp in Oklahoma? You need to move to LA? And I'm like, no, I'm going to be here. It may be harder. I'm okay with that. Yeah. But I'm like, somebody's got to do it.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, like I said, we're all from Oklahoma. I've got one guy, he's from Iran, but he lives in Tulsa, and he's as passionate as ever making a difference. And so, yeah, that's just kind of where we're at. And continue to look at more global give back initiatives, more local give back. So our global thing, we're going to try to feed 800 kids every day in this village, and not just like, hey, feed them, like, here's a meal, but like teach them how to feed, you know, do that. And so I think our plan is we're going to buy a bunch of chickens, and they're going to get the eggs from chickens, which most people don't get. You get basically like a soy rice mixture, so you don't really get good protein or anything like that. And so we're going to try to teach them how to do that, get the eggs from the chicken, so they'll be well fed from that, be very rare in that country, hopefully then sell the chickens to get more and kind of have a little entrepreneurial venture to be sustainable. Because at the end of the day, if we really want to change their lives, they can't be dependent on our resources. So we're trying to find that balance. I know it's hard for people to figure out sometimes. Like, you just want to give, but sometimes they become dependent on you versus you're giving them skills and you're giving them different things. And so that's going to be that locally. You know, we do stuff with Cleats for Kids and Fields and Futures, and we've done stuff with the City Rescue Mission and the Food Bank. And there's a couple other people that I know or have met that we're looking at. But really trying to work through our space. We love kids. We're big kids ourselves. We all like to play. And that's kind of what we found, that we really serve as kind of a good mentor platform, because most of us are pretty active, used to play sports, or people think we're fit or healthy or whatever. And getting young kids, we can just relate to them. You know, we've got a bunch of 21-year-olds. I mean, you know, a kid in high school or a kid in middle school or younger, and we can play. And so it's not a parent, but you can build that relationship and maybe have some more applicable advice to guide them and go. The challenge of the mentoring is, I used to mentor all the time when I was at Chesapeake, but you got to be there every week. You got to, because they depend on you. And when you're not there, that's not good. You know, and it doesn't matter that you're on a work out of town and this and that, but that's just kind of where you're at. So we're trying to figure that out, but same thing. If people have ideas or initiatives, like I said, we're just trying to be as impactful as we can, build a platform of impact and positive influence here in the community, and, you know, go from there.
Well, I tell you, it is an incredibly inspiring story. I get the sense that, you know, the support is coming here, as you say, you know, locally, you know, in Oklahoma and Tulsa and Oklahoma City. And, you know, you guys are, you're giving people opportunities to really be part of something much bigger than
and that's the goal. Yeah, I kind of always think of, when I tell people, I just want to build great things with great people that make a great difference. And yeah, I think that's what it's all about, building something, you know, bigger and better than yourself. And, you know, I find it's more fun that way. It's not easier, no. It's not more safe, no. But that's not what we're created for. You know, if you want safety and security, go to prison. They got a maximum security there.
You know? There you go.
So, you know, I found is, you know, I just try to think more long term and be a fighter in the moment and, you know, stay faithful, keep going forward and stay focused on the dream and task at hand and, you know, give it your best. So, yeah.
Well, thank you so much. This has been absolutely fantastic.
Oh, appreciate
I feel like
I've
learned a tremendous amount.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. And like I said, we're here to help. So however we can help you guys, you know, grow and naturally awaken people to the good things.
There you go.
Here for, so.
Well, thanks so much,
yeah,
man. Really appreciate it.
Yeah,
you bet.
Sure.